The bottom line in business talk. Voice America Business.
Welcome to Managing Technology the Right Way with your host, Sun Jogal. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are strictly those of the hosts, guests, and callers. Now showing you how to manage technology the right way, here's Sun Jogal.
Good morning, folks, and welcome to the show. It needs careful planning and flawless execution to make technology work for us, but how many times do we succeed? On this show, we invite business leaders and subject matter experts with extensive experience in technology management. The intent here is to learn from their experience and discuss better ways to manage technology. To learn more about the show, please visit talkshow.avval.com. That is talkshow.avval.com. Today's topic is the M&A CIO. Our guests for today's show are Mark Griesbaum and Bill Chapman. Mark is the Chief Information Officer with Career Education Corporation. As part of his current responsibilities, his group is responsible for managing a common worldwide infrastructure, integrating new acquisitions and startup schools into companies' technology, a common set of business applications, including a central student information system, web services for students and faculty, and a centralized financial system and HR payroll system operate across this worldwide infrastructure. Mark joined CEC from Axiom Corporation, where he managed their two largest outsourcing account relationships, that is for Waste Management and Montgomery Ward. Previously, he was the Vice President of Technology Services at Heller Financial, Inc., and held senior management positions at Continental Bank, where he was responsible for all technology services for the bank's cash management products. Bill Chapman is the Senior Vice President and Chief Technology Officer with Avnet, Inc. He is responsible for directing strategic IT initiatives across Avnet's operations worldwide. Under his leadership, advanced IT system architecture were deployed, enabling rapid and effective assimilation of acquisitions critical to Avnet's growth strategy. Prior to joining Avnet, Bill held senior management positions within Motorola and was responsible for supporting computer-integrated manufacturing, supply chain, and demand chain systems. And during his tenure at Motorola, while leading the Computer Engineering Development Group, he was awarded 8 international patents. Good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So how is life treating you this summer? I think, are we in summer yet, or is the fall already started?
No, in Chicago, we've been in summer and a lot of heat and no rain, but we finally got some rain, so it's working out well.
I cannot talk much about summer with you, Bill, because you're in Phoenix, right? It's always summer there.
It's always summer here. Sometimes it's a little more summer, like right now.
All right. So, yeah, we have come together today with a topic which is basically a hot button for most technology leaders. In today's day and age, we see mergers and acquisitions are really becoming like a second nature to any organization. And we have been seeing that while IT plays a very important part in the day-to-day working of an organization, but surprisingly, more than 50% of organizations, when they do the due diligence related to an M&A, they do not include IT as part of their integration planning. So this seems a little strange. Would you like to share some of your thoughts on that?
Sure. Mark? This is Mark Griesbaum. Just some sharing on that. I think it's a significant challenge for us in the IT group because you're right. Many times the company just doesn't think of IT as part of their integration planning. And I think part of it is people just, nothing reflective on the group. It's just people kind of think, gee, how hard can that be? And they just think about total business integration but not thinking about all the technology. And that is a real challenge. But we've been very much involved as part of our company, very much involved in the upfront due diligence, which has definitely helped lessen the surprise and really give a much better picture of what the overall effort and overall cost is to integrate companies together.
This is Bill Chapman. With Avnet, we've done quite a few mergers and acquisitions over the years, and IT's an integral part of that whole process. So it's kind of an interesting dilemma, though, because as you're going into the initial merger and acquisition phase and you're looking at that opportunity, you don't want too many people, in the domain to actually know about it. So there's a confidentiality problem. But as soon as we get through that that situation, and we can let key people in. We tend to bring in the IT organization. Our IT organization has quite a few tools to help them through the process, and so it's a fairly rigorous process that enables us to execute through that pretty seamlessly. So, but I would understand what you're saying, that a lot of companies, as they go into this merger type or an acquisition type process, it could be very difficult if they haven't included IT.
Would there be a specific reason why a company would not do it, knowing that, you know, IT is the very fabric?
Well, I think it gets to a little bit of what Bill said as far as the confidentiality, and their process really just has not identified IT as being an integral part of that business integration. And as Bill mentioned, you know, our company has included us very much. We are right on the upfront part of the due diligence, and it just makes a huge difference in the way in which we can do it as quickly as a company. We 2 years ago, we integrated in a 3-month time frame 23 schools into our infrastructure and into our application. So it just shows the rigor and what rigor can do for you in bringing companies in very quickly.
Do you think in specific cases this would be actually justified? While you said the confidentiality, however, when we're talking about bringing the two companies together, unless otherwise you actually decide up front that you're not going to bring the IT together for both organizations, are there any other specific scenarios in which companies would voluntarily not like to have IT included in part of the planning? And, of course, even going forward, they would like to keep them in a two parallel paths.
This is Bill Chapman. I think we tend to look at the integration opportunity as part of the value-added process of the merger and acquisition when at all possible. I could see in some situations, depending upon the companies that are involved, where if the systems weren't differentiators in the marketplace for them, they may elect not to to subscribe to moving any of those over, and it's really more of a data movement type engagement. So that definitely could happen, but I think one of the things that's pivotal is that a lot of companies are realizing that IT is really a value differentiator, and especially Avnet sees that. So IT engages pretty promptly into this process, and part of our assessment is what systems are significantly value add to our business processes and to our customers and our suppliers that we deal with. And those systems, we have to go through quite a bit of processes and rigor and evaluation to make sure that that they're worth saving these systems, and then after that evaluation, then we go in and figure out how's the best way to retain them and let's say in a value-oriented perspective, right? So sometimes you can integrate systems into your IT environment, but you'll come out with an incomplete environment, and then you've got a whole other set of problems. So I think it's going to be a very interesting thing as you go through these different evaluations to see what systems come out as value-added systems that should be retained, and then how do you retain them.
No, whenever we start contemplating the next M&A, while we can say even for the companies who choose to include IT in the very initial process of due diligence and what's going to be involved, the true colors actually do come out only at the time when the rubber hits the road. And at that time, you come to know exactly what's involved. However, there's always a potential for you to be able to proactively prepare so that when it comes, there will be surprises, but then you are better equipped to handle them. So what could be some of those, you can say, proactive steps an organization or a technology leader could have his team take that they are ready to take on any new challenge that comes their way?
This is Mark Griesbaum. I think some of the things that are advantages or things you can have in place or be prepared for is, you know, the more that you as a company have certain standards, whether they be technology standards or business process standards in place, I think those definitely help in making sure that you get agreement up front on really your overall acquisition strategy. So if you're a company that is an acquirer, that is one of the big advantages you can have, because you know, then you have your company really situated well to integrate the business and integrate the technology into yours.
Well, you may not be always in that situation if you think about it, that where you are the acquirer. So if you are in mergers and acquisition, this goes beyond the realm of, like, for example, your organization, which is primarily on the in acquiring seat. So it has got its own act together, and it knows that whosoever comes their way, like a new school, then mm-hmm. you're able to easily integrate them. When we are talking about two different companies coming from their own set of gestation time where they've evolved their IT over a period of time, and now they have to come and get married, what exactly could either party do to be prepared? Or, you know that you are almost mergers and acquisitions are becoming inevitable realities for most companies. So what they can start doing so that whenever it happens, there's less pain.
This is Del Chapman. Maybe I can kind of provide some light from our perspective on this. We have in our we have a fairly well-defined process, and we tend to execute our acquisition mergers in a matter of, you know, a month or two from an IT standpoint. So we just picked up Mimic about a month and a half ago, and our go-live date with all the systems integrated is this weekend on Sunday, which is, you know, about 45 days into it. So it's an interesting process, but you have to be well prepared, as you're identifying here. And I think part of that preparation is to understand all the various organizations and the dynamics there. It's all the way from MarCom with the company branding and logos and those type of things, and how they affect the websites. There's administrative services and real estates and purchasing. And probably the biggest factor is probably human resources. And so if you could go through all the major departments that make up the corporation, and you identify either from a task perspective that they need to resolve, and also from a an associated IT perspective for the IT professionals, that gives you at least a starting baseline. And then you can start looking at procedures and processes that should either be manually performed or maybe automated. So we've gotten some automated tools in place where it's strategically an advantage to the corporation to go do that, such as conversion routines and cross-reference table type applications that allow people to look up, let's say, the acquired company's PO number and match it to the converted PO number that is associated with Avnet's PO scheme. So there's some tools, but I think the most important thing is to step through it and say, look at the different organizations inside your company. Identify the key pivot tasks and important processes that are going on. And if you do that beforehand, now you've got an actionable list that you can start to develop.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back after these messages, and we should talk about estimations that are put into place when we start talking about IT assimilation or IT integration. And, you know, estimates are estimates, and definitely there could be an excuse used that we didn't know much about a situation or M&A, what's going to entail, and that's why the estimates went wrong or they were inaccurate. So what can be done so that your estimation process could be made a little more robust, so that when the actual numbers are put together and the reality hits, then we know that we're not that far off. So let's talk about this topic when we come back from the break, so please stay tuned.
Fresh, dynamic, and totally prepared for continuing business education. Business Talk Radio. Voice America Business at voiceamerica.com.
Looking for ways to improve your IT department? Then visit www.avval.com today. Aval is a professional services firm with a mission to help companies align IT with their business objectives through strategy, technology, branding solutions, and services. Our commitment is to ensure bottom-line improvements as a result of services rendered by us, whether it's an IT needs assessment, strategy development, or related implementation. We back it up by our unconditional, positive ROI guarantee. To find out how Evol can help your company, visit www.evol.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Evol, making IT work and look better. www.avval.com. Visit today.
Achieve total wealth management. Listen to Three-Dimensional Wealth with Roy Diefendorf every Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern on Business America Radio. Three-Dimensional Wealth is a show dedicated to teaching you a values-based approach to comprehensive total wealth management through practical strategies and expert advice. Take your first step down the road of financial independence. Listen to Three-Dimensional Wealth with Roy Diefendorf Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern, here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
What stock should I buy?
When is it time to sell?
Where do I turn for honest advice on my portfolio?
For the answers to these questions, tune in to Trading in Today's Markets with Oliver Alvarez and Greg Capra every Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time. On the show, Oliver, Greg, and their guests will discuss the daily going-ons of Wall Street, as well as give you tips on how to identify the hottest sectors and trends in the market. Improve your portfolio. Listen to Trading in Today's Markets with Oliver Alvarez and Greg Capra. Broadcast live on Business America Radio every Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time.
Are your accounts stuck in bumper-to-bumper traffic? Are your finances flowing at 2 miles an hour? It's time to crank your cash into high gear by tuning in to Making Sense of Financial Nonsense with Bullseye Bruce Horowitz. Every Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific Time, Bullseye Bruce will give you no-nonsense, common-sense financial advice that anyone can understand, as well as bring you clarity on some of the most complex and confusing financial issues today. So get out of that traffic jam and listen to Making Sense of Financial Nonsense every Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
The Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
We now return to Managing Technology the Right Way. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free at 1-866-233-7861. Now back to the show. Here's Sun Jogal.
Welcome back to the show, folks. For listeners who've just tuned in, today's topic is M&A, the M&A CIO. And our guests for today's show are Mark Griesbaum and Bill Chapman. Mark is the Chief Information Officer with Career Education Corporation, and Bill is the Senior Vice President and Chief Technology Officer with Avnet, Inc. Before the break, we just touched a topic which is related to estimating what it takes to integrate IT of the two merging companies or the company which is being acquired. And usually we have seen that the estimations do not come very close to what the reality is. And definitely there could be something can be attributed to the very haziness of what's going to happen. And secondly, maybe the process could be fine-tuned a little bit to make sure that you have got some things with weighted factors, et cetera, you know, whatever formulas or techniques that could be used to make the estimation a little more accurate. So, Mark, Bill, please share your thoughts.
Sure. This is Mark Griesbaum. You know, one thing that we've done is, through experience, we've put together, I would call it a estimation template. And so, you know, we have on there everything that it takes from our experiences to convert applications, to convert their technology, their infrastructure, to connect to our infrastructure, you know, overall, and what that takes as far as human effort as well as overall dollar expenses. And that's really come through experience. You know, it's not something that you just put together and it works every time. Quite honestly, we've done probably 40 or more acquisitions and conversions. And each one is just a little bit different based on the people involved, based on the type of school it is or the company. And we've learned that through time. And we've got it down to a fairly rigorous process and science now. But what we found was the less involved we were, the greater the fluctuation was in the effort and the dollars it took. The more involved we were, like everything, you have a much better idea of what that conversion and what that integration really is going to take. So we've learned through experiences that it's not a science. It's definitely an art, but you try and make it as rigorous as you can.
All right. This is Bill Chapman. I think those are really good points. I know with regards to Avnet, We have essentially a whole library of documented procedures and experiences and identified tasks that are associated with doing an acquisition or a merger. So one of the things that we do that I think is one of the differentiators, is it's really a good approach, is that we do this iterative type process where we have so many dry runs prior to essentially the actual go live process. And so as you go through these go live iterations, these trial runs, what we do is they get in increasingly more particular in details, but they give you a perspective of where you are in the process of how complete the number of, let's say, records are transferred in the product master files and how many records were transferred in the customer profiling type files and so on and so forth. So you can go through each one of those and assess at the end of each trial run how much extra work that you may have to go do and how many, let's say, unknown, the artful type stuff is still out there and remaining. And we try to get to a point where we have successful, you know, almost to 100% dry runs within probably 3 or 4 weeks after the merger is identified, you know, and we're allowed to essentially transfer data between the two corporations.
So, Bill, question for you. When you mentioned that you could actually go down and talking about record structures and, you know, basically the deep down technical stuff, are you given the visibility into a company which you're either acquiring or getting going to merge with for you to be able to actually even do those kind of dry runs?
We do that after the quiet period is over, and that we have all the government authorizations to do that, depending upon different regions in the world. So once that happens, then we're allowed to essentially disclose that data. Prior to that, depending upon the type of acquisition we're doing, we can work with the structures. What are the record structures that were on the path? But no, information contained in any of those, just the record formats and that type of stuff. That gives us a little prep up front, and that helps with our estimating process. But I would say the biggest thing in estimating for a good acquisition and merger, first is having a knowledgeable team, like Mark was identifying, is just foremost. The second thing is to actually have a good plan that goes down to the detail level with people that, you know, are identified as owners and key owners. And sometimes some of these guys have to do, you know, dramatic catches and go way beyond what, you know, normally you'd require in a workplace, just to keep the team collaborative and on track, you know, as a combined team. But hopefully there's not too many of those diving catches. Otherwise, it's a difficult environment.
So just as an extension to that question I had earlier, do you think the executive management, or for that matter not, do you think, till what time does executive management wait for the technology leadership to be able to go and dive a little, not as deep, but at least get to some extent of clarity before they can give an estimate of what's going to take for IT integration? Do they just wait till the last moment, or do they want numbers up front? And if they need the numbers up front, then there's a dilemma. How would you ever get to those numbers if you don't even get to see the systems?
Right. This is Mark Griesbaum. You know, I would say each, from my experiences, each deal has been, you know, kind of unique and a little bit different. Sometimes it depends on the school that we are acquiring as to the current owner and how far they will let you, so to speak, deep dive into their business and into their systems. You know, most times they're willing to let you get in a little bit further to understand their systems, understand their technology, understand their business much better. There's some things we have to deep dive into to understand from a regulatory standpoint, compliance, so that we understand any kind of risk that we may be getting into. So those are definitely upfront things that get done. And then depending on the relationship with that owner, then the other groups are brought in, such as ourselves with IT. And, you know, we really have it where the acquisition group brings us in as early as they possibly can in making the deal successful and making sure that the, you know, we call it the human factor. You know, those human factors are all worked through and worked through well with the current owner. So it's a learning process. It's one where as long as we're getting in early enough on, we feel we can make some pretty good estimations of what it's going to take to merge.
Now, this is Bill Chapman. Just kind of add on a little bit there. It's kind of an interesting dilemma. You really don't want to put too much pressure on the other company because if they disclose information that's proprietary, then the acquisition isn't approved, then you've got some exposure and you've got an important factor is has anybody disclosed information that would put a company in jeopardy from a stockholder or an equity owner perspective. So we try to stay real careful about how we approach those type of things, and occasionally we may need to do some like non-disclosure type thing, but we have quite a bit of rigor in that process, making sure that we don't expose either corporation to any jeopardy because of let's say pre-information that may be disclosed. So we look at pretty sterile information prior to that, and we get into some of the actual record data and that information, you know, after everything's signed up and all the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed, just so that and I think from my perspective, trying to stay away from that real data is probably a fine thing to do. It's not a problem if you can disclose structures and templates and that type of stuff, because that's really the content that at least our IT organization is really focused on. And I also believe if you look at the different organizations throughout the corporation, they have a similar type thing of looking at what is the template, what are some of the rules, as long as you're not disclosing anything that's, let's say, a differentiator in their marketplace, then you're probably going okay with the process and how you're moving forward with the acquisition.
Right. I would agree with you there, Bill. And one thing that we do is we have something where we just basically look at those templates, and you know, then we can make sure that we're applying what we need to bring that acquisition in. And it works very, very well for us then.
In response to my last question, you know, the people and people issues were brought up, and it's definitely, you know, it's all about people. Any business is all about people. And so let's take a quick break, and when we come back, let's talk about the typical people and cultural issues that are faced during mergers and acquisition activity, and that too with respect to IT, and for that matter, even for business users, because IT also deals with business users internally, and also now they'll have to deal with the business users of the other acquired or merging party. So what are the typical mistakes made in handling people and handling these cultural issues, and what can be done to do a better job at that? So let's stay tuned, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Get dialed in, 1-866-233-7861. Up-to-the-minute business talk. Voice America Business at voiceamerica.com.
Ever seen a hornet, Shelly?
No, ma'am.
Oh, well, you're five. What are you waiting for? They've built a nest outside your window. See?
No.
You will when you climb 15 feet up this ladder to get rid of them. Take this insecticide and broom and send those stinging meanies packing.
What if I fall? I could get hurt.
Oh, you know about gravity already. You're so smart. Oh, go, 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 go. The hornets are waiting.
Dear
hornets hate high-pitched noises. Yeah, try not to swallow too many.
Get away!
Knock that nest out of the park.
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult, so why put them in adult seat belts? If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat.
I can't see! Are they fighting me?
Oh, that's so cute. No, honey, hornets don't bite, silly. They sting.
Ow!
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
Looking for ways to improve your IT department? Then visit www.avval.com today. Aval is a professional services firm with a mission to help companies align IT with their business objectives through strategy, technology, branding solutions, and services. Our commitment is to ensure bottom-line improvements as a result of services rendered by us, whether it's an IT needs assessment, strategy development, or related implementation. We back it up by our unconditional, positive ROI guarantee. To find out how Aval can help your company, visit www.aval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Aval, making IT work and look better. www.avval.com. Visit today.
Business information you need. From the stock market to starting and managing your business. Voice America Business at voiceamerica.com.
Are you looking for a unique perspective on today's market from an experienced economist? Well, look no further. Listen to The Economic Contrarian with host Mike Norman every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time on Business America Radio. Mike and his guests will discuss new trends in the marketplace as well as emerging companies and opportunities. So if you want in-depth analysis from a contrarian point of view, don't miss The Economic Contrarian Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific Time right here on BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
Keeping you a step ahead of the changing world of business. This is Voice America Business.
Welcome back to Managing Technology the Right Way with Sun Jogal. Call in with your questions at 1-866-233-7861. Now back to the show. Here's Sun Jogal.
Welcome back to the show, folks. For listeners who just tuned in, today's topic is the M&A CIO. Our guests for today's show are Mark Riesbaum and Bill Chapman. Mark is the Chief Information Officer with Career Education Corporation, and Bill is the Senior Vice President and Chief Technology Officer with Avnet, Inc. Before the break, we started talking about people. I mean, they are the very reason why businesses exist, and this is the very basic bottleneck also many times when you're trying to deal with M&A situations. So let's look at the people and the cultural issues that are faced during mergers and acquisition-related activities, and that too with respect to IT, where IT is dealing with business users within its own community. IT is dealing with its own mini-organization, that is the whole IT staff. Then also IT is dealing with the business users of other community, of the company which is being merged with or it's being acquired. And also I'd like to throw in another thing in the mix. That is the geography. Given that most of the organizations are now global, we are also doing mergers and acquisitions which span the boundary of a nation, which is like United States company could be, acquiring a company in China or India or any other place and vice versa. How does that play a role given that we are now going totally out of our, the comfort zone that we have been living in within the United States, for example?
This is Mark Riesbaum. Well, that's that's an awful lot of things to cover and to go through. It's the human factor is just such a critical part of any type of merger or acquisition. One thing I found actually through my years here at CEC and as well as outside in other companies is that we're all technology folks and we're proud of what we do, and what you run into is so to speak, both sides think they have the best solution for their company, and that they would have the best solution for any other company. And so you got to work through that overall as to making the decision of what systems you're actually going to be converting to. And my experience has always told me is that you need to convert quickly. The longer that it takes, if it takes too long, you just prolong all the geographic issues, the human issues, the will I have a job after this? All of those factors start playing into it very, very much. One thing that we really learned over the last I would say year to year and a half with international is that's a different animal in and of itself. You really need to understand their culture. You need to work with them. And there may be a different strategy that you hadn't thought of. We actually deployed a different strategy for our international group, which was different than what we'd always been used to with our domestic acquisitions. And that was tough for us to get through, but once we got through it, actually it's worked very well. And, you know, it's just that learning that you got to have some flexibility, but yeah, you got to be really decisive then and move forward with and get the conversions done.
This is Bill Tam, and I absolutely agree with Mark. I think there's some really interesting dynamics around the people factor in an acquisition or a merger. One of the things that that we always saw or concerning us was essentially the different local economies. The local economies have a lot of dynamics on the retention factor during the transition. So it kind of controls, let's say, what you do from a stay bonus standpoint, and especially in the IT arena where a lot of it is hard fact type engineering, and there's a lot of knowledge, you know, built up in these IT personnel's head and stuff like that. So even if it's well documented, these systems, or let's say the databases, just trying to go through that documentation and grasping that as a third party is really complicated. So you want to keep those people and help and have them help you during the transition. So then it becomes what is the disposition of people after the merger? You know, do they have jobs? And do they feel comfortable about where their career is going? If there's an uncomfortable feeling in the company that's being acquired or merged, then you have the dynamics of, okay, if the job market's really hot, then people will probably stay for stay bonuses and some of these incentives. If the market is really compressed, there's not a lot of jobs, and they're looking at, geez, what's the risk that they're going to expose their family to, and all those type of human factors, then they'll shift jobs to minimize the risk to their family, and so then that puts the merger at risk to a certain degree, unless you really have a lot of processes, and that gets back to some of the processes that we were talking about before. But I think the human factor is just huge, and when I look at our list of let's say priorities and tasks that we go do, the human resource team has a huge job in front of them, making sure that the environment is supportive of the acquisition in a timely manner.
So did we at all touch the portion where we go expand the mergers and acquisition activity spans across the national boundaries, where the cultural issues could become even, you know, more daunting than the, you know, within the country kind of merger or acquisition?
Yeah, that's Mark Griesbaum. Yeah, you know, I kind of touched on it a little bit. It is very different. There's different work ethics. There's different cultures, different ways in which people communicate. That actually is one. There are communication challenges. And that communication takes longer and is more arduous in sometimes than what people can even imagine. So the time frame sometimes expands just due to, again, that human factor and that communication, miscommunication, misunderstanding, mending of some ways, and it absolutely is very, very different than just dealing across the domestic side.
You know, one of the things, this is Bill Chapman, one of the things that we're doing is we're doing cross-functional teams and let's say cross-regional teams, but we actually, I think it's important to open up maybe, let's say, some of the travel budget and say, let's get somebody on, you know, on the ground while we're doing, let's say, this our mimic
the mock-ups, basically.
Merger right now. We're sending over some project managers, some supportive staff over into the Asia team, and that does a whole bunch of different things. First off, it as a catalyst, let's say, for the two different companies and their IT teams to come to essentially an independent third party that can kind of help out. It engages, let's say, a larger expanse of resources to help make some of these transitions. And we have different systems and different, or let's say, ERP baselines in different regions. Like we have SAP in the Asia area. We have some mainframe homegrown solution here in the United States. So there is a lot of best practices that can be transferred, even though the systems may be different. But the processes and the procedures and the knowledge on how to do things and the people type factors are real important. But I also agree with Mark that the cultural differences are significant. If you go to Asia, people tend to work extended hours. Then you put additional workload on them. You got to be sensitive to that. You got to be sensitive to, they'll agree to things because they know it's important to the corporation. Yet, it's going to be a very difficult task for them to achieve. So you need to be sensitive and help augment them and provide support so that you're not putting too much pressure on them. So it's an interesting dilemma as you go around the world. We're phasing in the MIMIC transition. We're going to do United States first, and then we're going into the different regions with some of the same, let's say, cut teams that go through. Not cut from a personnel standpoint, but they cut through the process and get right into the meat of what needs to happen. And so we're transitioning that knowledge and supporting each other globally. And I think also in the long run it helps out because now the team has got something to rally around and they've got now a team experience that was, let's say, a difficult, trying type process. And now after you come out of there, you've got a team that's bonded together and very supportive of each other. So it could be a very, very good experience and essentially something that bonds a team that naturally wouldn't have happened otherwise.
Great. Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back after these messages and then take on another beast that we have been dealing with lately, which is compliance. Compliance means from federal regulations. So you talk about HIPAA, you talk about Sarbanes-Oxley. You got 10 other sets of compliance-related issues that an individual organization deals with. And then when the M&A hits, then at that time you may be you might be in the process of attaining compliance, but at the same time, this becomes like a moving target because you never know. The other company comes with a different set of compliance regulations that they are being governed by. And so that is a challenge in itself. So how do you deal with this moving target, with these two 800-pound gorilla type of companies with their own sets of compliance challenges coming together? How do you deal with this beast? So let's stay tuned. We'll be right back after these messages and talk more.
More and more people are starting their day with informative, focused business talk. Top experts. Today's business issues. Voice America Business at voiceamerica.com.
Looking for ways to improve your IT department? Then visit www.avval.com today. Aval is a professional services firm with a mission to help companies align IT with their business objectives through strategy, technology, branding solutions, and services. Our commitment is to ensure bottom-line improvements as a result of services rendered by us, whether it's an IT needs assessment, strategy development, or related implementation. We back it up by our unconditional, positive ROI guarantee. To find out how Aval can help your company, visit www.aval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Aval, making IT work and look better. www.avval.com. Visit today.
Win with effective marketing. Win with proper positioning and branding. Win with Dick McDonald on his show Win-Win Marketing for Buyers and Sellers every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time. On the show, we will discuss the challenges and common mistakes made in today's industry while providing you insight on what you can do to avoid these pitfalls. Get ahead with effective marketing in today's world. Listen to Win-Win Marketing for Sellers and Buyers with Dick McDonald, heard every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, here on the Bottom Line of Business, BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
Are you feeling slammed and suckered in today's stock market? If so, then you need to tune in to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, Jordan Kimmel will train you in what you can do to beat up the big boys on Wall Street, as well as share his secrets to success so that you can buy and sell like a profit-pumping pro. Grab the bull market by the horns and listen to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
The Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
We now return to Managing Technology the Right Way. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free at 1-866-233-7861. Now back to the show. Here's Sun Jogal.
Welcome back to the show, folks. For listeners who've just tuned in, today's topic is the M&A CIO. For our guests for today's show are Mark Griesbaum and Bill Chapman. Mark is the Chief Information Officer with Career Education Corporation, and Bill is the Senior Vice President and Chief Technology Officer with Avnet, Inc. Before the break, we started talking about compliance, which is the biggest pain for most organizations as is right now. And plus, when the mergers and acquisition activity hits, then the problem is compounded. So how do we deal with this? How do we proactively prepare for this? And how do you take care of this ongoing and moving target issue?
This is Mark. You know, the things that we do are, you know, we definitely understand and know and learn all of the different accrediting bodies that that may govern our schools or an acquired school, and that is something that we have to deal with very much, because we are a very, very regulated industry. We do need to deal with SOX. We've been fortunate in that we have not acquired anything new, so to speak. We've started up new schools, but have not acquired anything new since since the SOX regulation and ourselves passing the SOX compliance test this past year. So we have been fortunate that way, but it is definitely a very challenging area, and one that we have to stay on top of as far as with our applications to make sure that all of the all of those regulatory issues are taken care of in our student system with financial aid and other types of things in that system.
This is Bill Chapman. We certainly don't have the same type of regulations and such that Mark has to deal with being in the technology distribution industry. There's a lot of different regulations. We tend to use our legal support team significantly throughout the whole process. So, and there's certainly, as you go globally, they become a super factor in how you proceed. I know as we move forward, let's say in Europe with our acquisition, the process there is quite different, where we could do structural communications of what's going on within the IT systems. There they don't even talk between the two different corporations. There's quite a bit of controlling type regulations in any type of disclosure over in Europe. And as you go into Asia with, China really opening up to more outside corporations and such from an acquisition and merger standpoint, that's a key factor in how that government wants to expand their global presence and engagement, let's say, in the business community. So we use our legal team quite a bit to provide guidance in what type of things can be disclosed, and they provide a lot of support in that area on both sides of the merger or the acquisition. So and then the IT team essentially outlines what we're going to go do, and that probably also has a benefit that if you have your processes predefined and somewhat locked down, then you can pass those over to your legal teams, and legal teams can essentially say, yeah, this looks good, but we have some concern about this. We'd like you to not do this or something like that, or consider not doing it if you can. But if you do, let us know, and so on and so forth. And so they can give us a lot of guidance. And I think it's really beneficial to the legal team if you have some defined process so that you're not just sitting in a brainstorming meeting with them on trying to talk about how to go together, you know, in a merger in a region area. So it's quite an interesting thing, and it's quite complicated, so we end up using our legal staff a lot.
This is Mark. I agree with Bill. That's a great point as far as we also do the same thing. Our legal staff is very involved. The other thing that we have in place, too, is we have compliance officers at our schools as well as here at corporate, and they really help us stay on top of any compliance issues, any new regulations that come out. And they help us from an IT perspective, and we have a process in place where, you know, we have to be very careful as to how our websites, how we market our schools, things that are said in relation to the programs being offered. And so they really help make sure that we stay on top of all the wording, all the things that are said on our websites to stay in regulation.
Very quick last question regarding the risks. When we talk about M&A, of course, and any other business, there's a business risk involved and there's IT-related risk involved. So what are one or two things that you quickly can tell about risk management in this case? Mark?
This is Mark. You know, I would say the risks are definitely people risks. As far as what we talked about before, I think there's technology risk also, and it is that misconception of, you know, technology is technology, but as you acquire a new, for ourselves, a new school, the technology that's used at that school may be completely different than what your skills that you have in-house are equipped to deal with. And, you know, it's also those risks as far as again, how easy or how hard it is to combine or bring those technologies together.
This is Bill Chapman. I think two of the important risks that I kind of associate with, and it's really fairly dynamic. It's interesting to kind of explore, but one is, I kind of call it the physical versus the logical differentiation, and that's the risk of what, let's say, what the data is and what the information is that you're transferring, and does that actually portray the physical environment? You know, are these parts in the warehouse? Do you have the same inventory numbers? Are the evaluation techniques or the inventory and such, you know, apropos for one business versus another? So I have this physical versus logical type thing that says, does the data that the IT organization have, does it really represent what's going on in either one of the corporations? And so that's one of the risks that you have to associate with and try and minimize. And the other one is essentially a whole different perspective, would be the adoption of the systems. If you take the best of let's say multiple systems and you're going to come up with one of them, right? You have two that are overlapping, and now you got to pick one or the other one. Now, after you, let's say, integrate those systems in the best of the class between the two companies, now you've got the adoption factor within the two organizations of these systems, and so now you get into the whole thing of mentoring each other, training each other, and the continuance of that mentoring as you go through some of the...
Go ahead, Bill.
But I think that the whole risk thing is an important factor, and there's lots of different risks across the corporation and when you do these acquisitions. So that's, I think, also gets back down to, as Mark was saying earlier in the program, the more times you do this, the more experiences that you have, and if you keep a retention on those and you keep a log of those, then hopefully you can minimize risks in the future.
On behalf of the show and our listeners, I'd like to thank you, Mark and Bill, for sharing your thoughts and insights about how technology leaders can effectively plan and deal with the ongoing M&A activity and come out as a winner.
Oh, thank you for having us. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, it was actually really quite interesting. I thought it was a great conversation.
Thank you again. And mergers and acquisitions, as we all know, takes a toll on CIOs and other technology leaders, and it is sometimes intimidating. But the very thought of taking M&A as an opportunity is what would make it successful. And, you know, we have to work to make it, we have to make it work for IT integration standpoint, and also have to have IT contribute to the overall mergers and acquisition success from a business standpoint. And for that, you know, we don't have a silver bullet, frankly. The thing is, due diligence is the key, and working hand-in-hand with executive management, setting expectation with the IT staff, working closely with the IT counterparts of your upstream and downstream value chain players so that there's complete transparency and everybody's working hand-in-hand, are, say, a few simple steps towards effective IT management in a mergers and acquisition situation. Thank you again for listening to Managing Technology the Right Way. This is Sanjog All, your talk show host. Till next Friday, take care and God bless.
Thank you for tuning in to Managing Technology the Right Way. Please join Sanjog All next Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time right here on